1 Corinthians chapter 9, the rights and responsibility of God's servant. As we begin this chapter, it is important to note a continuing theme espoused by the Apostle Paul, one that is referred to as early as chapter 6. It talks about the limitations of liberty. All things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. That means that they might hinder my personal growth. If that is so, then I must put them aside. Then he continues his thought. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That means that if those liberties that I have enslave me, then I have lost my freedom to serve Christ because I am no longer free. I have become a slave to my habit. These are important principles to keep in mind as we view the context of chapter 9. Referring back to chapter 8, Paul insists that I consider how my personal liberties might offend a weaker brother and cause his fall. All of these are important matters as we consider our rights and responsibilities as servants of God. Although we have not arrived there yet, in chapter 10, Paul continues his, "All things are lawful, but not all things benefit others." Paul is stating that helping others grow spiritually is more important, and that it also involves forsaking personal freedoms. And now we come to chapter 9. To begin, I have heard ministers use these verses, insisting that because it is my right to these things, therefore, you, as a congregation, have a responsibility toward the minister. And if any attempted to use these verses for some personal gain, you have missed the point of why Paul is speaking this way. Let us examine these verses carefully to extract their meaning. The rights as God's servant, verses 1 through 11. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. My answer to those who examine me is this. Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not the power to lead about a sister or wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? Or Barnabas, and I have no power to forbear working? Who goeth to war at any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard, and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock, and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? One or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt. This is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. One, if we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? At first glance, it appears that Paul is being examined and scrutinized by others regarding his authority. If we are called by God, being in the fishbowl is part of the call. Sometimes that can be a good thing, especially as we consider the church at Berea. They received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily to see if those things spoken to them by Paul were so. Paul commends them for such, Acts 17 verse 11. There is a place for scrutiny. But Paul recognizes the possibility of destructive criticism. It is scriptural, and Paul gives a reason for the servant of God to be recompensed. First, he gives a reference to the command that forbids putting a muzzle on the ox while he is plowing the field. It is wrong to deprive the ox of his eating while he is working. Then he refers to the priest in the Old Testament who was restrained from working outside of his priestly duties. The people were required to support the priest, and to refuse to do so would be a sin. God provided for that in the law. Later on, we see Jesus sending forth his disciples, telling them not to take provisions, as he intended that the people would provide for them as they went everywhere, declaring the message. So we see from these examples that the servant of God has a right to expect God to provide, for he promised to do so. Paul is stating his rights as a servant of God to expect some form of compensation, as God provides. If perchance the servant is offered compensation, he is at liberty to accept it with much gratitude, but to execute it and force others to give, that is outside of Paul's purpose. The purpose is to serve and be a blessing to others, whether they pay for it or not. So, in these words, Paul is saying that, as God's servant, he can expect some compensation and be grateful when it comes. But what is not stated is that we expect it to come in a way that pleases us. There are occasions when he might experience great prosperity, and other times when he might experience great poverty. Paul states to the Philippians that he is prepared for anything. This will not hinder his quality of ministry to them. He is always God's servant, no matter his circumstances. Paul has a right to receive, but as a servant of God, he has no right to demand. In the past, I have met men who determined their call to preach based upon the generosity of the church's past history. These same pastors have nothing to give but old sermons they have saved for future ministries. I know of one pastor who makes it his goal to retire at age 65 and spend the rest of his time filling the pulpit, receiving large compensation for doing so. Hopefully, they will face the consequences for these actions. I know of another pastor who left the church because he received no raise in pay. Then maybe the congregation did not think he deserved one. All of these things Paul is warning about. Although we may think that we have a right to anything, God is the compensator, not man. We must interpret these verses as Paul understood them. We are not in the ministry to serve ourselves. God does not call us for that. The responsibilities of God's servant, verses 12 through 27. If others are partakers of this power over you, aren't we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And they who wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die, than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we have an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. If others are partakers of this power over you, aren't we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. And they who wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die, than that any man should make my glorying void. Paul continues in these verses by stating that if others claim your recognition, who have done nothing for you, should not he, who has begotten them in the faith, take a secondary place over them? And although this could be considered a right that he has, as those ministering at the altar have the right, are provided for by those who are ministered by them, Paul asserts that though this might be understood as a right, he has determined not to insist on this. Then he proceeds to tell them why, that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die, than that any man should make my glorying void. He states that taking advantage of them in any way would nullify any previous good work that he has done. He would rather die than stoop so low as to make the ministry benefit him. His responsibility in ministering to them was for their benefit and not his. This seems to clarify what we have previously said. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me, if I preach not the gospel? For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. Paul further demonstrates his commitment to the gospel by claiming that it is part of his innermost being to preach it. In his epistle to the Romans, he states that he is separated unto the gospel. That means that nothing else is a greater priority. To those who may think sharing the gospel is hard, Paul tells us that failing to share is a greater problem. Oh, that we might have the same heart as Paul. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. This is an interesting statement because he enjoys sharing the gospel. Sometimes, there are things that I must do that are not enjoyable, but because they are part of the ministry itself, they should not be neglected or avoided. Often, difficulties arise and must be dealt with. I recall in Acts chapter 6 that there arose a need for a more practical responsibility that would have hindered the preaching of the gospel. That is where Stephen was chosen. It was not the preaching part, but meeting the needs of those facing hardship. This is a good illustration to help us understand what Paul is stating. Sometimes there is something more important than preaching. That explains another responsibility attached to the ministry. What is my reward then? Verily, that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. This is one of those verses that is abused by some who wish to promote an education that has nothing to do with preaching the gospel. They claim that to reach certain people, you need to rise to their higher intellectual level. But when a person uses the scripture this way, Paul is speaking about this matter of being a servant to all, not attaining a higher intellectual level. Sometimes, too much education makes for a poor servant. It leads you to believe you have the right to a superior attitude toward others. Being a servant is more important than being a ruler, as was demonstrated when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth a prize? So run, that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we have an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep unto my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul compares sharing the gospel to those who are beginning to run in a race. We run and train with the hopes that we might win the grand prize, but only one is the winner. It does not matter if another does better and wins the prize. There is some satisfaction gained by being in the race. Because you did not win, it means that you might have to try harder. I recall that when I turned 50, there was a prize for the winner of the race for those 50 and older. There were those more experienced than I at that time. But the next year, I won the prize. How did it happen? That year, I was the only one who ran in that category. What does that have to do with the subject? I didn't give up, and the tide turned in my favor, allowing me to win the prize. But the closing words should cause us to consider what we are doing in our service. Sometimes we waste our time on self-serving things. Our service, to reach the end of my life and hear Jesus say, "Depart from me, I never knew you," is a frightening thing to hear. But rather, we must strive for the greater prize when we hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." If you have the desire for that, then there will be no fear of being a castaway. That is something to think about.